Blog Talk Radio.
Fantasy sports and politics.
Get ready to rumble!
You wanna talk smack? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got to live, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy sports and politics.
I have returned. It's me, it's Mr. FSP. A week removed from a very, very serious incident or accident. I'm here. I'm alive. I'm in living color. Right now I'm riding solo. Hopefully one of my co-hosts will call in and help me out, because I can tell you right now I'm not going to make an hour and a half by myself. It's going to be kind of rough, but we'll do what we got to do. Okay? On this episode of FSP, we will cover basketball, baseball, as well as college's March Madness is coming up. I'm going crazy. You're going crazy. College basketball is off the chain. Even hockey, you know, I find myself looking at a little bit more hockey. But firstly, I want to say a few things here. My guys did a good show on Thursday, and so did Kim Fun on Tuesday. You know, they mentioned me and stuff like that, and I just wanted to say I appreciate it. Now, my guys, they talked about a lot of dead people, famous dead people, and then they brought me up. So I'm hoping I'm not next in line. I got a lot of stuff I got to deal with, but you know, I'm a believer, and I believe that all things work out for the best and what's right. So I just want to thank Jerry, Jeff, and Black for holding it down on Thursday, as well as Kim on Tuesday. But with that being said, I'm not out of the woods yet, so we just entered the eye of the storm. Once we get out, you guys will know. You guys will know. We got a little ways to go. Anyway, again, we're going to talk about some basketball, baseball, and March Madness. So let's start off with the impromptu end to the Knicks' 8-game win streak. Everybody still Lin, no matter what. But here's his coach, D'Antonio, talking about he's trying to fit a ball in a place he probably shouldn't have. Maybe costing them the game.
They were long, and they did defend well, but at the same time, I just told him that he was trying to make the hardest pass out there. He's trying to make the home run pass, and that'll happen for young guys. That he needs just when they collapse so much that he just has to kick. But at the same time, we weren't making the outside shots, so they weren't coming out, and just the lack of shooting covered his floor up pretty good. So he'll learn. He'll get through it. I thought he played well.
Well, you know, it's part of the growing pains. I believe that was the last game on the Knicks schedule that was somewhat cupcake-ish. I don't want to call it cupcake games, because if you're in the NBA, there aren't any cupcakes. But now the real challenge begins, to see what Mr. Lin is made of when they face the likes of the Heat, the Mavericks, the upper echelon, the Celtics. You know, how does he go against Rajon Rondo and the Big Three in Boston? Now, he's going to get a little help real soon. You know, Amar'e Stoudemire will be returning shortly, as well as Carmelo Anthony. But then it becomes, who is the floor general? I think Lin has established himself pretty well as that right now, but you know, the whole controversy of, well, how's he going to deal with Melo, and how's he going to deal with, he's going to do fine. You got to remember something. A point guard's main job is to distribute and to make things and put things in motion. His job is not to be a scorer. He's had to be a scorer, but that's not going to be his main focus anymore. And I think you've seen that in the past couple games with the Knicks. D'Antonio has stressed the aspect of passing over shooting, his ratio. They don't want to become another Westbrook. Westbrook is a very talented guard out of Oklahoma, but he likes to score more than he does set up the plays. Now, that helps Oklahoma, but it also hurts some of the other situations because, you know, when you got plays designed to go a certain way, you're trying to set the defense up for later situations. Yes, Westbrook is effective, but Westbrook is not, or Lynn is not Westbrook. Let me put it that way. They play totally different games. But we'll talk about that a little bit later. Here's what Mr. Lynn had to say about the Hornets. You know, the Hornets aren't that good, but they're not that bad either.
I felt like this could have been a good game for us to win, but all the respect to New Orleans for what they did, and they came in here with a great game plan, and they shot well, and they played harder than we did, and they got the win.
So, with that being the case, you know, the Knicks end their streak at 8 games, I believe, and we talk about what's next on the horizon in basketball, because the Knicks are a 500 team. You know, a lot of people, including the guys on this show, we talked about how it just might be the end of D'Antonio's career, and we were going with the other pundits about how his resume should be getting put together and things of that nature. With Lynn, I guess, getting a little bump, it's helping D'Antonio and the Knicks move on and be successful. When you look at who's playing tonight, you got Sacramento at the Clippers, you got the Nets at Chicago, Golden State at Memphis, and Atlanta at Portland. You know, there aren't that many marquee games going on. Really aren't. But the excitement in New York is so riveting that you got to look at it and say, wow, what's going on there? You know, how can I be a part of it? And the reason why I say that is because New York is a hub, a media hub. And when, you know, you've got so many different things going on in your market, one game, one person, whatever it is you want to say, can change the way, a person is looked at. Lynn's jersey was on sale immediately in Modell's, to the point where the CEO of Modell's went to their New York store and was talking to, buyers of the jersey. I saw a CNN report while I was in the hospital showing how one Taiwanese young lady and her friend came in and bought pretty much all of the Jeremy Lin shirts off the rack and came back and got more. I mean, that's kind of crazy if you think about it. I'm like, wow. I'm not saying that Lin is going to be the next Yao Ming or the bridge that the NBA needs to the Asian community or the Chinese community, whatever. I mean, they're always trying to build bridges. Got it. But Lin is one of those guys where, he's a Harvard graduate, so he's highly intelligent. In economics, by the way, so he could probably run the Knicks a little better than what they're getting done now. But at the same time, you have to look at what's available for the Knicks in that market. The Giants just won the Super Bowl. You know, Mark Sanchez and the possibility of Peyton Manning coming there. The New Jersey Devils aren't that good. The Nets aren't good. So in that area, and they just lost Mr. Carter, the famous catcher for the Mets. So when you look at what's happening in New York, you got to say Mr. Lynn is he's top notch. He just is. So cut this guy some slack. When Melo and Amari Stoudemire come back, and Lynn's running the floor with them, and now they have J.R. Smith, who admittedly is a gunslinger, you know, there's a possibility that the Knicks can be riding high for a while if Lynn can be that glue. And I mentioned all those other sports franchises and things like that because they all have one key figure, one person that supposedly can hold the team or the organization together and focus them. Chauncey Billups was great. He was a great floor general. Unfortunately, he left the Knicks and he went to the Clippers and got a tore his MCL, I believe, or ACL, and is done for the season, maybe his career. But the young and energetic Lynn has a chance here to become a worldwide star. He's already a phenomenon, but we're talking about a star. He has one endorsement deal that I know of, which is with Nike. So if he and the rest of the Knicks can defeat the Lakers again, defeat the Heat, and maybe a few other of these games we got coming up, it could be something special, something really, really special. Now, if you want to call in and check in with me and talk with me, I hope you do. You can dial 347-637-3220. Again, that number is 347-637-3220. I'm kicking it here by myself. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics. And I'm doing the best I can. You know, body's not what it used to be, but I'm going to keep it going. Before I take a quick break and step away, I want to run down a couple of these games coming up. I told you about tonight's games or today's games. I told you about Sacramento at the Clippers and the Nets at Chicago, which looks to be probably the best game of the night. But Portland and Atlanta at Portland is going to be a good game too. But Sunday, some great games. The first real matchup that is going to, you know, say if Lynn can do it. He faces off against the world champion Dallas Mavericks. It's in New York, but it's okay. It's a 1 p.m. start, so it's the first game. It's the only game coming on at that time, so they've got center stage, and then you have Orlando at Miami, Sacramento at Cleveland, Boston at Detroit, Charlotte at Indiana, Utah at Houston, Philadelphia at Minnesota, Milwaukee at the Nets, the Lakers at Phoenix, and Denver at Oklahoma City. Now, again, a marquee matchup for the New York Knicks versus the world champions, 1 p.m. start. This was not in the cards at the beginning of the season. This was a game that people were just throwing to the side and saying, oh, well, you know, who cares? It's the Knicks. They're not going to do well. I'm telling you. I got it. Jason Kidd's old. Jason Terry is old. Dirk Nowitzki's getting old. Peja Stojakovic and all these other guys, they're old, but they're still effective. And if Lynn can control the game from his position and be what Jason Kidd used to be, a distributor, those assists, 13 assists is pretty good. That's 26 points, if not more. So, and the kid can shoot, so. I think Barkley and a few other folks said it. He is the real deal. But anyway, let's step away real quick. Let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about just a little bit about a little college basketball. All right? Right now, here's my girl Kim Fun. She airs with Compassion Dakini on Tuesdays at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And here's a little something that she normally does. So check this out.
Today's mindfulness meditation is brought to you by It's All Good. Are you being challenged to become better, faster, smarter, quicker, or just more copies of what you see in magazines, TVs, and commercials? Are you an original piece of creation or copies of the status quo? Are you in the flow of the fantastic life or stuck in a rut? I was given a tree of life, and the word of fortune for 2012 is power. Power is the wisdom to serve for the highest good. In other words, power is not about self-sacrifice and being a martyr of misery. No, power up with the divine of compassion means you have to play, you have to live, you have to laugh, you have to learn over the willingness to risk failure. The unit of measurement of happiness is wattage. So how bright do you shine your light? This is what I know for sure. If you're listening to the show right now, then you're pretty original. You have an open mind to the spectrum of joy, the freedom to play, have fun, and live in this present moment. A free yoga class for any listeners who knows why this show is called Mindfulness Meditation. Well, mindfulness meditation means experiencing your heart, which is the real mindful present of the here and now, moment to moment of awareness of all the wonderful blessings. Mindfulness also means being your true nature, which is living your wattage, shining your light out to the world. So what's meditation? Meditation is the ultimate medicine for your mind, the daily medication that you need every day to feel good. Here are the foundations. One, bring the awareness to your own physical body. Appreciate the inner universe from cells to organs. Real beauty lies more than skin deep. True charm lies in a grateful heart, and a true light radiate and shine from the inner confidence and compassion. Two, be in touch with feeling good. Know your energetic battery. Be grounded physically. Know when you're mentally at peace. Balance out your emotions with the humble insight. Please participate in activity that restore your light and increase your wattage. Three, meet all the challenges with creativity and positivity. Our minds can only hold one thought, one emotion at a time. Make it positive and make it powerful. Four, become one with your body, mind, and spirit. The basis of all spiritual faith is one love, one body, one world. It does not judge or criticize or complain that you have more, I have less, you are better, and I am not. No, the spirit of strength of the divine compassion is that we're all one, in unity, in oneness, in one holy and original piece of art. All that is good and godlike. This is Kim, the one and only everlasting compassion. Until next time, may you be in the light of happiness and mindful living.
And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. That was, again, my girl Kim Fun from Compassion Bikini every Tuesday, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, here on Blog Talk Radio under my banner. You know, it's all good, as she said. You know, I love listening to Kim's stuff because when I'm down or if I'm not feeling good or whatever, she always has something to pick me up, and, you know, it's always on time. But speaking about things that are down, let's switch gears here to college basketball. College basketball in Purdue. The Boilermakers aren't that good of a team this year. However, they can't afford to have players getting suspended or banned or whatever. Young men and young women, because it's not just, you know, the male athletes. But in this case, young men staying out at bars 3 a.m. in the morning, getting arrested, it's not a good thing. I'm going to read you a quick blip that's up here on ESPN, courtesy of ESPN, about Purdue's Kelsey Barlow, who is kicked off the team. Purdue kicked guard Kelsey Barlow off the team Friday and suspended swingman DJ Bird for a pivotal late-season game following an early morning incident at a bar. Lieutenant Gary Sparger of the West Lafayette Police said officers were called there, called to her Else Bar near the Purdue campus just before 3 a.m. after a disturbance. Both Barlow and Bird were there when police arrived. Now, the police are saying that Bird assaulted one of the bar bouncers, also stating that he claimed he was kicked. Well, he was kicked out of the bar, but he claimed that his wallet was still in there and they wouldn't let him back in. But they were arrested by Indiana State Police for public intoxication and spent 5 hours in jail. Now, the Boilermakers are 17-9 and 7-6 in the Big Ten. They're trying to improve their record and RPI in hopes of an NCAA tournament berth. But here's the deal, guys. You can't be doing dumb things. And Stephen Purdue said the players were punished for violating unspecified team rules. This is an unfortunate situation, but we will move forward, as a program coach, Matt Painter, said. We expect our student-athletes to live up to the high standard, and when their actions become detrimental to the program, there are consequences. Now, I believe Mr. Cheney I can't remember, Cheney Fryer or something like that. It's been a while, but he used to be the Purdue head coach, and he wouldn't put up with stuff like this. And I understand, you can't have this stuff going on, especially when your team looking for a berth or an opportunity to get into the NCAA tournament here. I'm going to bring in a call. I believe it's my cousin from the 240. Welcome to Fantasy Sports Politics. Please state your name.
Slim, you know what my name is. Why you asking? We'll be playing. What's going on, cuz?
Ain't nothing. How you feel?
Feeling good. You talking about, you said Baird or Bird? Like in Larry Bird?
As in Beard. Bird as in B-Y-R-D. DJ Bird.
Okay.
He's a swingman for Purdue. Now, he didn't get kicked off the team. He was just suspended for a game. But Kelsey Barlow was the one who got kicked off the team. Right now I'm talking about the issues of college players, especially during this time of year for basketball, when you're trying to make a Sweet 16. Purdue 17-9, not a bad record, but they're 7-6 in the Big Ten, which isn't a strong conference this year. Yes, they have Ohio State and Michigan State and stuff like that in the top 10, but Purdue, you know, they need all the help they can get. But I want to focus in on the student athlete and their behavior, especially when it comes to these times of year. We saw in football with Terrell Pryor and all these other guys getting tattoos for favors and stuff like that. And Ohio State said, you know what, go ahead and play in the Sugar Bowl. We'll make some money, but then you got to pay a penance. So I want to get your thoughts on, you know, this kid getting kicked off the team just before the big push for the March Madness and the Big Ten Championship. Was the right thing to do, or should they have given him a little bit more leeway and a little bit more time?
How long did they give him?
Well, he got arrested, Friday night? He's off the team today.
Wow. For being in what? Public
he got arrested.
Intoxicated?
Yeah, he got arrested. Yeah, public intoxication. And let me see the rest. He's accused of being assaulting one of the bar bouncers.
Oh, come on, man. Really? They should have just probably kept him out for one game. He got drunk, got into a fight at a bar. Really? Come on, man. That's crazy.
Well, here's the stat line. Okay, he's 6'5". He's a guard. He's played 22 of 26 games averaging 24.3 minutes and 8 points a game. Okay, now Bird, uh-huh. the other guy, who is the swing man, 6'5", he started four games, averaging 17.1 minutes, and giving the Boilermakers a deep threat with 45% shooting from three-point range. So I'm thinking they probably kept the swing man because of his high percentage of shooting. And since the guard is doing nothing more than just, you know, playing minutes. It doesn't seem like he's contributing that much. 8 points is okay, but, you know, what is he doing?
Yeah, that's not sexy. Yeah, that's not sexy. So, yeah, you're right. That's not sexy. If you're only doing, like, 8 points, you know what I'm saying, then yeah.
So, but do you think, you know, kicking him off the team, getting rid of a scholarship, so is that
no,
something
it
that
should,
really
it shouldn't have kicked him off the team. Nah, definitely not kick him off the team. That was a little bit too much.
So, if you, well, again, you're looking at the discipline actions of these coaches and of these colleges. You know, are they trying to set the precedent that we're not going to do what Ohio State did? We're not going to sacrifice the integrity of the school just so that we can possibly get a victory or do something special in the tournament. At least that's what I'm looking at.
Yeah, that's a bit much. Because I got a roll on you, Slim. I love you. Keep it going.
All right.
And do your thing, man.
All right, I'll let you know when I have to have that other procedure done.
Okay.
All right?
All right.
All right, bye.
All right, bye-bye.
That was my cousin, Mikal, Grown Soul and Real Talk, every Wednesday, 8:30 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. So I appreciate him calling in. If you guys want to call in and chat with me, you can dial in at 347-637-3220. Again, that number is 347-637-3220, and we can talk a little bit. But you know, I'm thinking that in college sports, you've got a lot of different things going on that preclude ethics. You know, ethically speaking, why would I recruit a player that might bring the level of integrity down of my university? I know I want to win. I know I want to win, but at what cost? Now, I'm not saying Barlow is a bad kid. Not at all. I don't know the kid. I've never even seen him play. But I agree with my cousin. I don't think they should have kicked him off the team. I'm not sure how many disciplinary situations he's gone through at Purdue. But it's kind of harsh. It's a little black eye on the university, too. But I understand the punitive damages that come across here because you got to think about, well, how much money is this going to cost Purdue if they keep a player like this? And then all of a sudden he decides, well, you know what, I'm just going to go pro. You know, he might not even make it pro, but the fact that they wasted so much money on a kid that possibly has had multiple instances with the law or their school violations or rules, that, you know, you've got to learn to cut your losses. Maybe. I'm not sure. Could be the case. All right. Let's stick in college basketball where we're talking about the Illini. Bruce Weber says he's not going to return as the head coach of the Illini. In a statement, he says, the sad thing about the whole thing, I guess, is that it's my fault. Instead of creating toughness and developing a team, I lost control all year. It's sad, to be honest, but it is what it is. So we got to remember here, this guy... Let's just read real quick. Again, I'm quoting ESPN. Illinois coach Bruce Weber said Friday has no intention of resigning and wants to finish his career with the Fighting Illini. After Illini lost its fourth straight and seventh of its past eight games on Wednesday against Purdue, Weber said he has coached not to lose all year. Epsom took his post-game comments to be a concession speech. Weber issued a statement the next day trying to clarify the remarks. Basically what he said was, that's not even a question, to be honest. What has happened, we're 16-10, we're still the NCAA field, we've had some tough losses. I think that's way beyond. Basically, folks are saying that he quit, and he's coaching the team in a downward spiral. I, for one, don't think that's the case, but you never know. I got a banana hammer, man, on the line, and Comrade Vladimir. I'm going to see what's going on here. Let's get Banana Hammer 1 on. Banana Hammer 1, welcome to Fantasy Sports and Politics. What you got to say? What's your take on what I'm talking about?
Man, all I got to say is, how do you think of them Battletoads, man? They're doing pretty good.
Battletoads?
Yeah, them Battletoads.
I'm not sure what you're talking about, my friend.
Man, they're like the underdog team. Almost no one's ever heard of them yet.
Okay, what sport are we talking about?
We're talking about the football team.
Okay. What football team? I'm not familiar with them. I mean, explain who they are and where they're from and what league they're in.
Oh, they're in the what league they're in?
Is it arena football or is it a what is it?
Yeah, they're in football. It's they're in the I don't exactly know what league they're in because I don't pay attention to every single little detail. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But,
well, who's their star player or their most recognizable player?
Oh, their star player or their most recognizable player is Zitz. That's what his name is. I know it sounds weird, but it's Zitz.
Okay, that's interesting. All right, well, tell the folks out there a little bit about them since you brought them up. I mean, this is brand new to me. I've pretty much moved away from football because I'm preparing for the NFL Combine, but if you have some information that the folks out there need to know about, by all means, please share it.
Yeah, man, the Battletoads, they're coming up. So far, they've been undefeated.
Okay.
They've gotten all the good plays. Right now they're actually using the Wildcat offense mostly. They're using the Wildcat offense, and that shit's being undefeatable right now, man.
And what area are they in? Are they in like Miami? Are they in Toledo? Where are they located?
Oklahoma.
Okay. All right. Okay. I'm an OU person. So it's all good. What's their record, and how can folks check them out?
The record is 14-0. 14-0. And what do you mean by, like, how to check them out?
Meaning, okay, where can folks go to either go see a game or get tickets, or can they just go to YouTube and see some video, or what?
Oh, yeah, they can go to YouTube, see some video. Just look up the Battletoads.
Okay. All right, and what's your name again?
My name is Steve.
All right, Steve. Well, I want to thank you for bringing that up. I appreciate it, and I appreciate the call. A little bit off the topic, but hey, this is what we do. We talk and we converse. But I'm going to go ahead and move to the next caller if you don't have anything else about the Battletoads. I'll look them up on YouTube, and I encourage everybody else to do the same thing. And maybe somebody will, jump on board and like them.
Yep.
All right. Anything else you want to talk about?
No, not really. You can go to the next caller.
All right, I appreciate the call. Have a nice one, Steve. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Well, you had a caller right there. He wanted to talk about the Battletoads, and I guess you can look them up on YouTube. And if they're the real deal, then, hey, check them out. I mean, hey, I'm interested in all types of sports, all types of things that go on. I love MMA, but I'm not going to talk about MMA today, mainly because I don't have my guys on the line to combat me, because it's a heated battle. But anyway, let's turn back to college basketball, where we're talking about the importance of, you know, building character and things of that nature. I was going back to Weber, who was talking about, you know, not quitting and not having a bad season, and you can still salvage the season. It's kind of difficult to do that when, again, you're in the Big Ten, you got Purdue, Ohio State, Michigan State, and stuff like that, and you're fighting a really, really hard fight. But you can't have that type of downplaying of character going on. You can't have the, well, the administration can't have the coach or believing that the coach is not coaching to win. And if that's the case, then of course, Mr. Weber maybe need to step in. He may need to step down or step aside or do something like that. But we've got Comrade Vladimir on the line, and we're going to bring Comrade Vladimir in and see what Comrade Vladimir has to say, and maybe it'll be something interesting. We'll talk about it. Comrade Vladimir, how you doing?
Yes, hello. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Welcome to Fantasy Sports and Politics. Please tell me what piques your curiosity today, and what do you want to talk about?
Well, I was listening in today, and this person called earlier. He said something about the Battletoads, and I just had to let him know that, you know, the Battletoads don't have anything on the Sea Cows. The Sea Cows are the best team in the division, NYC all the way. So, do you know about the Mad Sea Cows?
No, I do not, and that's what I was trying to get across from the previous caller. You know, you said the division. Okay, what's the name of the league? Since you said NYC all the way, I'm taking it New York City, and if he's saying that the Battletoads are in Oklahoma, they're 14-0. I mean, I've never heard of this league. I've never heard of this stuff. So please, by all means, let the folks know.
There's a league called the NES, right? And so all the teams get together and play there, and there's a total of over 9,000 games. It's a very, like, tough championship to win.
Now Heather has lies.
Harrison, shut up.
So is this online? Is this an online thing?
Oh, no, this takes place, like, everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And,
okay.
So, anything you want to know about them? I mean, we got Joseph Ross here. We got.
Well, I heard a young lady in the background. I heard a young lady in the background, so I think you guys are having a good time over there.
we're having
Hey, do what you need to do. I'm just be protected. That's all I'm going to say about that Battletoads and everything else. Well, I tell you what. Again, I asked the other caller, where can we find some information? And he said we can go to YouTube. So if I go to YouTube and type in Battletoads or the other name of the group.
The Mad Seekers?
Yeah, the Mad Seekers. What am I going to find? Am I going to find some guys running around, playing football, playing basketball, playing lacrosse?
You're
going to
find some very inspiring videos about how we rose from the ashes of the Football League and came and stole the championship right out of the Battletoads' grasp. It's football.
Okay. American, or is it soccer?
It is American pigskin football. American.
Okay. Hey, I mean, maybe Terrell Owens is trying to get in that league too, since he is playing and owning Arena Ford League team.
You want to know something cool?
Sure.
All right. Well, Apolomolu, he used to play on the Mad Seacows actually before he moved on to the Steelers.
I'm not sure about that because I know he went to USC. He was in college.
Yes.
So, where do you have
not,
to
college? They're not college teams, though.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So, where did he have time to, you know, play for them before he went to the Steelers? Because he was drafted straight from USC.
Oh, no, that's impossible. I don't think he likes to speak about this chapter in his life because he was very ashamed of playing on the Mets. They still have his name and everything. He won about 3 games for them, and then he quit.
Ah, really?
Yeah,
well, you know, the funny thing is, I have an ability to get in touch with Troy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, actually. He's a friend of the show. So I will definitely, you know, off air, give him a call and talk to him about it and see what he has to say. He was just in San Diego a couple of days ago.
Ask him if he remembers Jake DeStoga. He should remember him.
I will ask. But I got to get on to other parts of the show, but I appreciate the conversation and what you're talking about here. I mean, it goes right into the next segment, actually, about the NFL combine and draft, because you brought up the fact that Troy played in this league before he went to the NFL, and there's a lot of players, a lot of young kids, and some not so young, that they're trying to get their shot at the NFL through the combine, and they've played somewhat professional football, but they really haven't been exposed. Do you have any players that you know of that might fit in that category that's in this league you're talking about?
Well, yes, I do, actually. There's this one name, or kid, actually. His name is, I think it was, I only remember his last name, sir. It was like Rash. It was something Rash, but anyways, he said he had horrible training to go through to make this draft. Like, he said he had to get shot in the knee by arrows, and it was pretty bad.
All right, comrade. Well, I want to tell you, I appreciate the call, man. But I got to move on, okay?
All right.
Hey, thank you for the call. Great conversation. I'll give Troy Polamalu a call later on and talk to him about this. And I'm quite sure he'll have a laugh about it just like we just did right now. Take care.
Have a nice day.
Bye-bye. All right, comrade Vladimir. Interesting person. I want to welcome Lenny Melnick into the chat room. How you doing, Lenny? Lenny's actually one of those great he's one of the legends in commentary and things of that nature. So thanks for dropping in on the show. But let's get back to the topic at hand. I was talking about college basketball, but I want to switch gears because comrade Vladimir actually helped me with a smooth transition there. We're talking about the NFL Combine happening in a couple of days. I mean, I don't know about you guys. I really don't know about you guys. But there's some folks that I want to see how they react to some of these drills and the behavior of not being a college student anymore and trying to be a professional. So many players athletes, I want to say, you know, they leave school early and they think it's the best move. One in particular that I think is not the brightest move to do, and I'm not sure if he's doing it because of the pressure from Jim Kelly or what, but the kid out of Oregon, the quarterback, why is he leaving this early? He should never, ever, ever be looked at in any round, in my opinion. He's not a quarterback that's ready to move on. I look at the Andrew Lux of the draft and the RG3s. Brandon Whedon is 28 years old. He's the most mature player in the NFL draft. He stands a better chance of getting picked before this kid out of Oregon. The kid out of Oregon, he does not transition well to any other position. He's not big enough to play receiver. He's not proven that he can catch the ball and play receiver. He's, I guess, a two-read and run, if you want to put it that way. Two reads, and then I'm tucking the ball and running. That's not the Cam Newton, and that's not the that's not the quarterback that RG3 is either. It's more of a Tim Tebow. And yes, Tim Tebow was successful, but ultimately things came to an end for Tim Tebow, as I think it would for the kid out of Oregon. You can't sit here and tell me that you play in a spread offense and you've been there 2 years because of the pressure of the head coach who says, you know what, I'm not going to go ahead and just give you the job. I'm going to make you work a little bit for it. If that's the type of pressure that you're breaking under, what's going to happen when you try to go to the NFL, you don't make it, and then you've mortgaged your entire future on this one shot? You end up playing in the league that the NES that Comrade Vladimir and Banana Hammer 1 were talking about. You end up playing in those types of leagues because you think you have it all, and you don't. I mean, I haven't made the NFL. I've never been in the draft. I've had opportunities to show off my talents when I was younger. Didn't do it, you know, whatever circumstance. But I'm smart enough to know that if I have an education, a free education, and all I have to do is go out and perform and keep good grades, then I'm going to do it. Oregon's not a bad school to go to. And if you're going to break because the head coach says, I'm going to give this sophomore a little bit more time. So what? LaMichael James is a beast. LaMichael James is probably not going to get picked to the third or fourth round. The kid is a quicker version of Darren Sproles. Darren Sproles was not, you know, he was not a first-round pick. Okay, you got to think about this here. When you have a player such as LaMichael James, you have a jewel. But he's the best player coming out of Oregon, and he's at best right now a third or fourth round pick. I got another call here. Let's see what he has to say and who he is.
He's up.
All right, your host. The man they call Ghost. Welcome to Fantasy Sports and Politics. How can I help you, and what would you like to talk about?
Yeah, I would like to talk about the last two callers, the Sea Cows and the Battletoads.
And I take it you're part of the party that's going on there as well. It's okay. Let's talk.
Yeah, man, I just think that the Battletoads, this season, the Battletoads are going to crush the Sea Cows.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, why do you think that? What is so special about this other team that a 14-0 team can't defeat?
What? Now, the Battletoads are the ones going 14-0.
Correct.
And
you're saying that the Sea Cows will crush them. So my question to you is, what do the Sea Cows have? Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
The last caller was saying that the Sea Cows would crush the Battletoads. I'm saying that the Battletoads would crush the Sea Cows.
Oh, okay. Thank you for clarifying that. Okay, so what you know, tape or what style of offense that the Wildcat that is being used that just can't be stopped? By any of the teams in this organization?
Well, I remember the last caller said something about Rash. Yeah, I can't remember his first name either. But he said something about Rash. Now, Rash is on the Battletoads.
Hey, yo, Ghost.
What?
Let me talk to this guy real quick, all right?
All right.
All right, so I'll explain to you the Wildcat offensive. So pretty much what it is, you got the quarterback and two offensive linemen.
I understand what the Wildcat is. I got that. What I'm saying is, why can it not be stopped? I mean, it's a very simplistic offense to stop. It's just
Because they're rocking the Skynet offensive as well at the same time. You know what I mean?
They're also rocking Zitz and Rash. Zitz and Rash are the two best players in the league.
Okay.
I mean, you can even
hear
Peyton Manning commenting on Zitz plays, even though they're not
really?
In the same league. Yeah, you can actually.
Where can we find this commentary?
Look up the on YouTube or on the internet. Look up Battletoad Wildcat Offensive 2011 Skynet Peyton Manning.
That's a pretty long title there.
Yeah.
But, I mean, hey,
yeah.
If it's there, it's there. I mean, I'm not going to dispute it because I don't know. This is totally new. Now, my question to you guys is, if these players are so good, how many of them are going to attempt to get into the NFL Combine next week?
Well, there are rumors of Zitt switching, but those are unconfirmed, as Zitt has stated previously that he enjoys playing with the Battletoads.
Okay, I mean, what's Zitt's first name? I need to look this up. I mean, nicknames are cool, but let's look it up.
All right. His name is Joseph Zitt Ross.
Okay. Well, I mean, I don't pull anything up from that.
The Battletoads really aren't that very famous. I mean,
if they're on YouTube and somebody's tagged them, then we can easily pull them up. We can easily pull them up that way.
Yeah, you can.
But here's what I want to know, guys. Because I'm having fun with you all, but I really want to know. Is there a group or a organization you guys are with that actually has players or seeks help with players to get into the NFL or IFL or anything like that?
Your voice is kind of roboticizing. I don't know if that's through Skype, or I didn't understand like half the things you said.
Did you say something about joining the Combine, these players, our organization? Is that
yes.
what you said?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
That's exactly what I said. I'm trying to figure out what is it that, you know, makes these players so much better than those that are trying for the NFL Combine.
It's,
you know, are they going to try, or are they just content making no money?
It's not the thing that they don't want to join the NFL. Who doesn't want to join the NFL that's in these leagues? But it's a thing of they don't want to join. They don't individually want to join. If one of them's joining, they all have to join because they're an unstoppable team.
It's
so
actually against the law.
Do you think the Giants would have a chance versus any of these guys? The Super Bowl
Giants?
Champions.
Oh, the Giants. Yes. They would crush the Giants easy.
They would They would make the Giants stop playing football. Their coach would commit suicide because of how bad they lose.
Wow.
It would just shame the Giants.
It would break 8 Guinness World Record books. 8 of them.
Well, fellas, I tell you what, I'm going to call Troy. Matter of fact, no, I can't do it on the air because then I can't call Troy on the air. Can't do that stuff. I think that, you know, this league, the NES that you're talking about, it's probably a good league for, you know, folks to get involved in and have fun. But I don't think it's on the same level as college or professional football. Right now, what I want to talk about is players that are transitioning to the NFL and what it is they have to do to get to the NFL.
Oh, and I can tell you about a player that's transitioning from the Sea Cows, actually.
Okay.
All right.
That's
about
what I want to know.
The best offensive lineman, and his name is Yao Ming.
All right, my friend. I've had fun. I got to go. I got a little bit of time left. Listen, seriously, in all honesty, you guys have been fun. I appreciate the calls. But I got to get to some serious topics right now, okay?
All right.
But it's been fun. Hope you guys enjoy the show. And call in whenever you want. But I got to get to some serious stuff. Take it easy, all right?
We'll get back to you. Don't worry.
I know you will. All right, bye.
Bye.
Okay. I take it that was Steven again and his buddy. But anyway, that was kind of cool. Listen, we're all fun and games here. Anything to lift your spirits up, and I appreciate it. But let's get back to the NFL draft and those guys that are looking to be top picks here. The best offensive lineman in the draft is out of USC, Matt Khalil. And, you know, that's a lot of parents, when they have these big boys, they want them to play skill positions. And I wanted to tell you that sometimes those skill positions make a lot of money, but playing offensive tackle in the NFL, especially left tackle, is probably one of the best positions to play, or defensive end, if you're going to groom your child to play professional football. It's not a glory position, but it's a very well-paid position. On average, a lineman can pretty much stay in the league for about 7 to 8 years if they're able to transition from, you know, tackle to guard, guard to center, stuff like that. Matt Khalil has that ability. He is that good. Will he be the top overall player? No, of course not. You have Andrew Luck and RG3, I believe, fighting for that position. And if the Colts were to be the first pick, of course, their prototype quarterback in the same cookie-cutter format of Peyton Manning would be Andrew Luck. Now, we're talking about Mr. Manning and Mr. Irsay, and Mr. Irsay likes to tweet a lot. He's a good guy, funny guy, talking about making some type of deal that will structure Peyton's contract so that he's there for at least a year or two. Now, what does that mean? That means if Peyton's there for a year or two, they're going to draft Andrew Luck, and he's going to be the understudy to Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning then retires from professional football with one team. And all this hoopla about the Redskins or the Jets or the Dolphins getting him go out the window. I firmly believe that the Colts are going to pay the man $28 million by March 8th. And then he'll take probably base minimum salary to finish the year. And then the rest of his contract gets null and voided or whatever the case may be. They release him. But Peyton has maybe 1 or 2 years, good years, left in him. You know, it's remarkable because he and I are pretty much going through a similar situation. Although he's had the surgery I'm about to get, he's trying to regenerate nerves, which is not an easy thing to do. And I'm learning, because of my experience, that the spinal cord is a very, well, I already knew this, but it was a very, very sensitive area. And if the nerve endings going burned down his right arm are damaged to that point that, you know, he can't throw the ball with any zip ring or that. He's not worth that much right now. And I can tell you, I just had this experience this week, and my hand, my left hand, is still tingling. I still feel every nerve ending in that hand. And I'm not hit as much as Peyton Manning. You know, if the Colts were to maintain Peyton Manning and or get Andrew Luck or RG3 in this upcoming draft, they're going to need to solidify that offensive line for anybody, not just Peyton Manning. Okay? Now, according to ESPN Scouts Top 32, they have Andrew Luck, Matt Khalil, Robert Griffin III, Quentin Couples, and Trent Richardson in the top five. Now, I don't really have Trent Richardson in my top five. The reason why is because he's a great back, but I believe that Blackman and my guy out of South Carolina stand a little bit above him. Just a little bit. As a matter of fact, Scouts has Blackman listed as number 12 overall as their first wide receiver. And then they have Michael Floyd at number 18 and Kendall Wright at number 20, which is surprising because I don't think any of those receivers are better than, wow, my God, if South Carolina is not even in their top 32. It's interesting. But we'll see at the Combine. NFL Combine, again, I believe it kicks off the 22nd through the 26th of next week. You can catch it all on the NFL Network, and the NFL.com will be streaming portions of the Combine. I think it's going to be a great, great event. I always like watching it, whether I'm over here in Germany or back home in the States. It's always a good time. I want to switch gears real quick. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to step away, take a quick break, and when I come back, we're going to talk a little baseball. It's time to recruit for fantasy baseball, and man, oh man, am I ready to do some baseball. Here we go, ladies and gentlemen.
This is John Walter, Washington Wizards, and you listen to FSP Crew Show.
Wrong one. Sorry, guys.
Go!
Carrying the ball 20 times a game requires power and valor, not niftiness. The water bug and whippet backs rarely survive the wail and howl of the banshee. Stack defenses in the pros. They must meld the buck of a billy goat with the sudden surge of a sprinter. He does not move with polish or slickness. His method is not Grand Prix, but Demolition Derby.
I want winners.
And you got winners, ladies and gentlemen. All right, let's get back to it. This is Fantasy Sports Politics. I'm your host, Mr. FSP, V to the I to the C. I've been rolling solo all evening. I've had a couple of good calls, funny guys calling in. I appreciate them chiming in and, you know, helping the time go by. But let's get to some serious stuff here, okay? I don't want to talk about Whitney Houston's memorial. I don't want to do that. I know she's been talked about a lot, but it's a good thing that we're putting her to rest, and everyone needs to move on with their lives because we can't revolve our lives around death. If we do, we're doomed to feel the same impact of those that feel that way. All right? let's get to something a little bit more upbeat. Let's talk about a little baseball, all right? Baseball's in order. Jason Veritek was talked about by the now retiring Tim Wakefield. Let's hear what he had to say about Veritek.
I've talked to him a little bit, but, you know, it's a decision that has to be made on your own. It's nothing that he said or I said to him or whatever. It really comes down to taking a deep, hard look at where your life is at this point. And, you know, for me, it was the right decision to make. For him, I don't know. But, you know, if he decides to come back and play, great. If he doesn't, that's great, too, because there's one true champion and proud to be able to say that I was his teammate for 15 years.
So, the word is Jason Veritek is going to be retiring as well. Boston's coming apart here, ladies and gentlemen. Big Poppy, not the same as he used to be. I mean, come on, guys. What's going on? You got to look at the... Okay. If you've seen the Billy Beane story, which is... I thought was a very good movie that Brad Pitt and... I forget the guy's name, but they did pretty much a Moneyball. Very good story how they use an equation to generate a winning formula for a team. Now, it hasn't worked necessarily with Oakland. They've produced great players, but they can't hold on to them because they don't have the money. They just don't have the money. Boston then took that same idea, and they ran with it, and they won a couple World Series. But now... Terry Francona's gone. Big Poppy isn't the same. He took a one-year deal. Veritek is thinking about retiring. Wakefield's retiring. You know, they're not getting any younger. They may even slip to number 3 or 4 in the AL East. So my question to you guys is, what happens to Boston? What happens to baseball? The Yankees are always retooling, but are they ready? They just traded, or they're attempting to trade. Oh my gosh, can't remember his name right now. I got a brain fart. The guy they got from Toronto, who turned out to be nothing more than a high-priced reliever. But where is it? Where is the state of baseball? You have Albert Pujols going to Anaheim. In a good situation. The Miami Marlins, oh my gosh. I said this a couple weeks ago. I believe that the Miami Marlins are going to do what they've done year after year. When they build up a solid team, win the World Series, and 2 years later dismantle it. They did it with Brad Penny. They did it with several other pitchers and Leivon Hernandez. They did it. Listen, Ozzie Guillen knows how to talk to these guys. He really does. And they relate to him. He's a former player. He's got a stacked pitching staff. I mean, if they're scored on a lot, it's going to be because of defensive errors. And they have the hitting and the running to take care of business. It's the power. The Marlins are missing the power. They can do hit and run all day long. It'll be great. I mean, it'll be great small ball baseball. Ozzie Guillen, he won't have much to yell about, but when he does, everybody will understand what he's saying. He's going to pack the Latin community into the new stadium, and it's going to be a great time for the Marlins. Again, a couple weeks ago I said I believe the Marlins are going to win the World Series. I'm going to put a small wager on it. Small wager. But I want to talk about fantasy baseball because I'm running a league. And it's called Fantasy Sports and Politics, hence the name of the show. And it's a prize league. It's $75 to enter. And we have a lot of categories now. I'm not going to lie to you. There are a lot of categories, okay? I'm going to run them down real quick, it's a maximum of 16 teams in the league, okay? Your batting categories are at-bats, runs, hits, home runs, RBIs, stolen bases, walks, strikeouts, errors, and average, okay? Then on the pitching side, you have appearances, innings pitched, because it's important. You have to have a minimum of 25 innings pitched in this league. I could do more, but I'm not going to, you know, kill everybody, because if we get a large group, then you're not going to get 25 innings pitched unless you're doing a lot of different swapping out. Wins, losses, saves, hits, walks, Ks, their ERA, and their WHIP. Now, I like a lot of categories because it gives you an opportunity to steal one or two categories away from your opponent who might have a stacked team. It kind of evens out those guys that have great, great drafts, and some of those guys that don't make the draft. Yeah, I know, in money leagues, you should make the draft. It's not always the case. Jobs, we all work, or we all have other responsibilities, whereas you can't exactly make the draft. Now, also provide a budget of $100 for the entire year for the waiver wire, okay? You are allowed 6 acquisitions per week, I should say. 6 acquisitions per week. And within those 6 acquisitions, if you choose to bid on a player, you can. But the difference is here, once your $100 budget is expired, you no longer have the ability to bid on any players. You will then have to wait for the waivers to clear. Now, odds are the player you want to get isn't going to be cleared on waivers if it's a hot commodity or it's one of those guys that the columnists are hyping up and, you know, well, I really want to get them. So I think the importance of the waiver budget is it's widely misused. Some people spend, let's say, $60 on one player, and that player may or may not be the one that lasts. That goes right into the auction draft. I experienced one auction draft. I actually did 2 of them. I liked it, but they drive on forever and ever and ever. It drives me crazy. I got to a point where I had a very good team. I actually loaded up on pitching and star hitters or good hitters, and then I just let the computer pick with my $1 bids on players to fill, which was cool. Ended up being 3rd in that league that I did that in. But in my leagues, I do not want to do an auction draft. The reason why I do not want to do an auction draft is because of the time it takes to run these drafts. And people, you know, they get frustrated. You know, do I really want to spend $20 on, let's say, Carlos Pena when I know I can still get maybe Roy Holiday or somebody like that, maybe for $18. It's a very, very good thinking man's game. It's a mixed league. It's not AL or NL only. It's a combination. So you get a lot of different things we play. Position-wise, I like to break things down kind of, softballish. You can say that. We go with a catcher, a first baseman, second baseman, third baseman, shortstop. I have 1 infielder, a left fielder, center fielder, right fielder, and 1 utility player. Also, we start 3 pitchers, 2 relief pitchers, and then I believe I have 3 just pitchers, any type of pitchers, with 6 people on the bench. That's, you know, you can put 3 up top in your batters, or you can put 3 in your pitchers, or 6 in your pitchers, however you want to do it. But, again, this is a $75 league. It is open for registration. All funds will be held at leaguesafe.com. If you want to join the league, I promise you, it's a very, very, very intense league. We talk trash. We're going to do a live draft here on the show. I'm going to do a special show that day, and you'll have an opportunity to partake in that. But the league ID number is 51959. Okay? 51959. Now, I'll tell you right now the password, 12345. The reason why I do that is because I want to fill the league up as soon as possible, collect all the funds, and have everything ready. I'm not in the business of waiting, because when I have dedicated owners, I treat them right. And you can tell or talk to anybody that's in any of my leagues, that's what I do. I try to treat them as best as I can, because you never know what's going to happen, you know, down the road. They might want to come back, they might not want to come back. You never know. But anyway, right now we have 6 teams in the league. I'm looking to add at least another 10, and I pay out division winners, and there's an 80-20 split of the pot, okay? 80-20 split of the pot. So if you're interested, again, the league ID number on Yahoo is 51595. Password 12345. I'm crazy like that. But let's get a little bit back to baseball and what it is that you're going to get this season. This season, you can expect to see a lot of high-scoring baseball, I think. I don't think the balls are getting juiced or anything like that. I don't think the players are getting juiced. I just think you're going to see a return of power. Over the past couple years since the Royd era, I'll put it that way, you know, it's been a concentration on trying to get small ball played. Well, I think you're going to see a return of a lot of home runs this year. I think you're going to see, with Prince going to Detroit, he's going to hit them over that left field a lot. That's a good move for Prince Fielder, even though he does not hit well there. He does not. But Prince Fielder is going to have a pretty good year hitting over that left side. I really think he is. It's a short left side, so he can stretch it out over there. Anaheim's going to be a good hitting ground for Albert. His average is going to, you know, stay in the high threes. Home runs, I'm not sure, but with people setting the plate out there, if Torii Hunter and I forgot the guy that left Toronto is out there playing center field. If he can get his stuff together, Anaheim has a good chance of pulling off the surprise and stealing that division from Texas, because they have a good pitching staff. You know, Texas, they've gone 2 years in a row, came up short both times. Washington, he's got a good grasp of that group, but they just can't seem to get over the hump. I'm not sure how long Nolan Ryan is going to stick with them, but their pitching staff is pretty good. They just paid a lot of money for a Asian pitcher. With the it's a sinker slash slider slash herky jerky delivery. And the thing I want to say about that is Hideo Nomo had a very similar one, and I believe Hideo did pretty well for his time in Major League Baseball, but he also had to have surgery. So I'm not sure how long this kid's going to last. And they paid $64 million just to talk to him, and then they signed him to a pretty lucrative deal. So it's going to be interesting. He's a very, very good pitcher. I don't know if he's worth all the money that the Texas Rangers are paying him, but we'll see, because they already have the sticks. They just got to find a way to close out the series. I don't know. Another team that I'm not high on, and I'm quite sure a lot of folks aren't either, are the Philadelphia Phillies. They're older. Yes, they've got great pitchers. They've got Doc Holliday. They've got oh my goodness, I forgot Oswalt isn't there anymore. But they've got a pretty good, nice rotation. But if you can't get any runs, or if you can't hit, it doesn't help the pitcher. So I'm very low on any players. Maybe not Ryan Howard, because he's going to be your 25 to 30 home run guy. But, you know, you can't bank on him week to week to have a good average. You know, Jimmy Rollins is older. He's not going to fill as many bases. They're going to use him sporadically in situations like that. He's a good hitter, but he's not going to be worth that much unless you're going just for average and at bats. That's pretty much all I got for them. A team on the rise that I think you need to watch out for, Washington Nationals. I'm telling you, the Nationals are a very, very good team. They're pitching, getting Edwin Jackson and Strasburg, and they got another young pitcher up there, and they got a couple other hot pitchers in there. They're going to do well. Then you bring in the catcher, who I believe they're going to move to first base, that was in the minors and messed up his, I think his Achilles, I think, last year. You put him in there, he can hit. The only problem with the Nationals is their fielding, and I said this last week, their fielding is terrible. That's what kills them. If they can learn to field the ball and stop the bleeding, they can win a lot of games. Their hitting isn't a problem. Their pitching isn't a problem. It's the defense. So no matter who's the manager or in the front office, if the guys can't field the ball, it doesn't work. It just doesn't work. Another team to look out for are the Diamondbacks. Arizona quietly did well last year. I don't think that they're going to surprise too many teams, but they're going to be above 500 and worth a look at some of their players on your fantasy team. If you're looking for base hits, you're looking for stolen bases, that's a team that can supply you with that right there. It's a good opportunity to pick up on some of those players. Also, when you look at the teams in the NL, National League, the Braves, for some reason, they just keep, you know, they keep putting tools together to make things work. I go after their pitching staff. It's not the pitchers of the 90s, but they have a decent pitching staff that you can find late in your draft to prepare if you don't get, you know, the top-tier pitchers or something like that. They're pretty good. They're pretty good. I'm also looking at possibly stealing maybe Jake Shields, who is a top pick, but forgive me, guys. I'm tired. Forgive me. But Jake Shields, where would you pick him, though? Would you pick him in the first, second, third, fourth, fifth round? I'd say you pick him in about the fourth, fifth round. If you're in an auction, you don't go over $15 on him because he's a top-tier guy. Depending on how much, you know, your budget is, I'm going off a base 100. I don't spend $15 on him or something like that because he's not going to be that 20-plus game-winning pitcher. You're not going to see too many more 20-plus win-game pitchers in baseball anymore. So you got to make sure when you draft these guys or bid on them that you're putting them in the right perspective. Does Ryan Braun even get your consideration? I mean, he does for me. He does for me. I had him last year. He did very well. I actually traded him for two very good hitters, though. It helped me. I just missed the playoffs, though, but with someone on my team by himself, I wasn't even in contention. But Ryan Braun, despite the allegations of performance-enhancing drugs, you know, he can do well. And without Prince Fielder, that's going to be the question. Can he power Milwaukee back into the spotlight by himself. You know, Milwaukee didn't add anybody to help out Ryan, but he's a hitter. He can field, he can run the bases, and he's pretty good. So, is he a top 10 pick, though? That's the question. Also, who is a sleeper pick? Who is your sleeper pick this year? We'll talk about it next week, okay? I got to get prepared in the show right now, guys. I got to tell you, I've had a great time. I had a couple of funny dudes come on and keep the mojo going. We talked about college basketball, March Madness, baseball, a little football as well. I'm hoping that next week, hold on, I got a question. Would it be smart to trade Curtis Granderson? Depends on who you're trading him for. Granderson actually had a good year last year. He sucks at hitting from the left side. He sucks at hitting left-handed pitching. But last year he did pretty daggone well. For Prince Fielder, most definitely. Most definitely. The question is, would it be smart to trade Curtis Granderson for Prince Fielder? I'm telling you, yes. If someone's willing to offer you Prince Fielder for Curtis Granderson, jump on it. Again, Prince does not hit well in Detroit's park. But with the short left field, I think he'll find his niche there. I would take Prince Fielder over Curtis Granderson. That's taking a first-round pick for a third or fourth-round pick. That's like taking candy from a baby. So hopefully that helps you out there. But again, next week I'll talk a little bit more about some of my picks and stuff like that. I'll have my list. Hopefully my guys will be on with me, and they'll have their list as well. I want to thank everyone for their prayers and support while I went through this accident. Like I said, I'm not out of the woods yet, but I'm going to make it, I promise you. Might not hear my voice for a couple weeks, might hear my guys' voice, but I'm going to be here for you. So with that being said, on Saturdays, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, you have Fantasy Sports and Politics. That's this show, normally hosted by me, my co-host Jerry in Black, maybe my cousin as well. We bring it to you live and direct as best we can. Then on Sundays at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, The Master Plan, JT Money, ATM. You never know what Jerry's going to talk about, but I'm quite sure it's going to be something interesting this week. He's no more football, but he might be talking about the combine. We'll see. Then on Tuesdays, you have Compassion Dakini with Kim Fun. Kim has, again, I played her piece. She's a big change from what we normally do here. She's a wonderful, wonderful person, and it's all about uplifting on her show. It's not sports generated. It's motivational for men and women. She wants Oprah and Michelle Obama on her show. I'm trying to help her get it. We'll see what happens. Then again on Wednesdays, you have Grown Soul and Real Talk with my cousin Macau. And on that show, you can say just about anything and everything. I'm not sure what the topic is this week, but I'm quite sure it's going to be off the chain. It's either something about, you know, cheating men and their women, or why a woman would want to have a female girlfriend and be married to a man. And they talk about all types of stuff on that show. It's like Jerry Springer of Blog Talk. And then on Thursday, you have Fantasy Sports and Crew Show. My boy JT Money, which is Jerry Taylor, Black the Bookie, and Jeff the Joker, always kicking it live and direct with you. But ladies and gentlemen, this is going to end my time. I want to thank you for hanging out with me in the chat room, Lenny Melnick, Mr. Leif, and all those that listen to the show. Greatly appreciate you. I got to go. Like I tell my folks, about this time, you've been listening to
Fantasy Sports and Politics.
Get ready to rumble!
You want to talk smack, you in the right place.
So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got to live, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy, sports, and politics.